You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to The Director's Take. We are part of the PodcastDetroit.com network, broadcasting from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. The Director's Take firmly believes that knowing the most at this moment puts you in the best place for the next moment. And that wedding or event preparation doesn't have to be a stressful undertaking. Wedding expert Lori Lewis will help you rethink and reprioritize what a successful event can be. This is your opportunity to hear from some of the top industry professionals, listen in on candid conversations, and learn the cost-cutting, stress-free ways that others have used to plan and experience the most memorable time in their lives. If you're ready, listen in and take notes to ensure your vision comes to fruition and know you're in the right place at the right time. Here's your host, coordinator, visionary, and flavored water drinker, Lori Lewis.
Hello, everyone. This is Lori Lewis, the director, on another episode of The Director's Take. And today I have joining me is Tierra Abstin, who's the owner and visionary behind Dreamcatcher Stationery, which is a boutique stationery company located just outside Washington, D.C. Now, if you're wondering, how am I interviewing somebody from D.C. and I'm here in Michigan? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Tierra and I actually became acquainted at the Signature CEO Conference, which I was fortunate to attend 2 years in a row in 2018 and 2017. And one of the things I love about these type of conferences, or this conference specifically, is that I'm able to network with other wedding industry professionals from all over the United States. And some of the Caribbean islands as well. So Tierra and I have stayed connected via social media, Twitter, Instagram, etc. And so she's definitely one that I wanted to come on the podcast to just share her experience in the industry and for her to share her experience with clients who are wedding planning, and for her to also share what she's doing with her company, Dreamcatcher Stationery. And so, if you will, welcome Tierra to the show. Hey, Tierra.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
I'm great. Glad to have you on. So I know I could have read your bio, but I want to give you the opportunity to tell listeners about your company yourself.
Awesome. Well, my name is Tierra Abson. I'm the owner of Dreamcatcher Stationery, and I'm based right out of D.C. in Northern Virginia. I design custom and semi-custom stationery for weddings, events, social events, nonprofit organizations. And I also have an extended line that I just launched that focuses on giving stationery to the small business owners, such as people that need, like, note cards, thank you cards, and things of that nature. But then I also have a line that is still inspirational mugs. So I'm just kind of branching throughout stationery and going to favorites as well.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. It also says that you were also featured in Munaluchi Bride, one of my favorite bridal magazines. I mean, I love all bridal magazines, but I have a special affinity to Munaluchi Bride, especially after meeting Jackie at last year's Signature CEO. So you were in Munaluchi. How did that come about? How does one get published in Munaluchi?
Well, actually, I did a, they call it Muna Love Affair. It's actually an event where a lot of the creatives come together and they put on like a special night for couples that are getting married in the area. So, some creatives that I met a while back, they contacted me and said, hey, we want to put on this luxury event for some couples. And so they tied me in to do the stationery for the big day. So I did the menu cards. I did some of the signage. And then name cards and everything for the event. And I got to interact with the couples and also interact with the creative. So it was awesome just to see all these people kind of come together. And the clients, they loved it. They literally got catered to the whole night.
I bet. You know what? I'm going to just throw this out there because I'm trying to get Jackie to the Detroit area to do a Muna Love Affair in Detroit. So I'm just going to call her out on this episode and make sure to tag her when it comes out because I want a Muna Love Affair here in Detroit. I think that would be amazing. So
I think so, too.
Yeah. Yep. So I always hear about it. Shout out to Munaluchi again. Beautiful, beautiful. So what's been your experience since leaving Signature CEO? I mean, you and I, I've gone 2 years. You've been there at least 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm. It's been 2 years. It's been good. I wish I could have went when I first started back in 2015. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're a new business owner, you know, your funds are tight. You have to really determine where you want to put your money and everything. But the past 2 years that I've gone, I've taken away so many nuggets. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And the people that I met, like yourself and I interacted with, has been amazing. I really like the idea that we were able to mix and mingle with a lot of the speakers, and we got a lot of nuggets from people that are in various levels of their business. So we didn't really feel like, you know, we're the newbies or, you know, it's separation or division at all. So I've been doing a lot and trying to utilize everything that I've been learning.
That's right. And you're in business full time, right, with Dreamcatcher?
Yes. Okay. So I recently transitioned at the end of the year. I transitioned from full time, like corporate. I'm doing a lot of IT-based work, and now I'm doing Dreamcatcher full-time.
Yay! Awesome. And so, oh gosh, I just forgot what I was about to say, but what was your inspiration for Dreamcatcher, especially with the name? How did you come about the name Dreamcatcher?
I think ultimately I came about the whole name because I felt like when I was navigating like the corporate industry, I kept, you know, getting these different type of IT jobs, and it just wasn't really fitting what I wanted to do, what I love to do, and it was just kind of be a paycheck. So I went to school for design, but unfortunately everything that I was doing was not design related. And so I felt like I was like chasing my tail and chasing what you call like a dream, which kind of sparked the name of the business, Dreamcatcher Stationery.
Mm, love it. I didn't realize it. So your degree is in design.
Yeah. So I got a degree in design, back in 2010. And, you know, I thought I would go into doing a lot of the design and stuff when I came on board up here in like the government contractor field. But fortunately, I kind of took all these turns and went to some other stuff based on like different paths people were trying to put me in. And ultimately, I knew that's not what I wanted to do. So I kind of came back around to where I started.
Got it. So let's talk all things clients. And so when a client reaches out to you, what's the process? I'm getting married. I need mm-hmm. some wedding stationery. I have some idea of what I want. I have my colors. Where do you take it from there?
Yeah, so it really kind of depends on how they're reaching out to me. Sometimes people come to me via the Knot or Wedding Wire or some like third party source. And so normally I try to direct them to my site so that they can fill out the contact form, but then also be able to get a little bit more background on me other than what's posted on some of those sites. And then it also allows me to kind of start a portfolio or a file for them so I can understand their needs better. It gives me more information to start with in regards to the budget, of course, which is important. What type of things they may need, because not everyone just comes to me for the wedding invitations. They come to me for all kind of stuff. So I can kind of figure that out too early on. And from there, I normally just have a phone conversation with them to get a little bit more information, get to know them as a couple, you know, and see what they're looking for and see whether we would kind of mesh together before we were to get started. I also like to get some information in regards to like if they've done any research, because a lot of times people have no idea because they've never done this before. So I always ask, like, have you looked online at all? Have you been to any stores? Like, what type of things have you found to be important to you in regards to stationery? So we just have a conversation, depending on if they're local or not. We would then have a an in-person consultation, and we can go over different paper swatches, samples. They can see different types of printing methods. They can see past things that I've done, and we just go from there. After that, if they decide they want to move forward, I would put together a proposal for them that would, of course, include some of the things we talked about. And then it will also include the contract. And if they decide to move forward, it's a 50% deposit for any type of custom work. And we get started on design. And I normally have about 3 different design phases for my clients before anything gets signed off on and printed. And that's normally how the entire process goes.
Love it. So what do you recommend? What type of budget do you recommend clients come to you? Is there's a range? You know, because everyone, even as a wedding coordinator, they're like, well, what's your lowest price? And so what's the proper range for starting wedding stationery?
Yeah, so this is always a tricky question because I know there's so many things out there that's been published and like blogs and stuff like that in regards to like the price. So I always tell people, think about whether you want something fully custom or if you want something that's like pre-designed and what I consider semi-custom, because that's really going to help determine like the range of the budget or the pricing that you're looking at specifically. And then also we have stuff online to where you can just order it, right?
Right.
So I always tell people to think about those three things and then kind of go from there. But I would say in regards to like custom work, I always tell people to at least at least $10 or more, depending on like what type of printing you're doing. So if you're going for a more higher end type of printing, like foil or letterpress or something like that, you definitely need to kind of up it definitely, because the printing, the quantity, the layers, all these different things that you can add onto your stationery can make the price go up. In regards to like semi-custom or pre-designed kind of things, I think that you're safe to say you may be able to stay below that $10 range depending on the printing as well and the quantity.
So when you're saying $10, is that $10 per invitation?
Yeah, per okay. I call it per invitation suite. So
okay.
The way I work is I have kind of like a base of what all of my invitations come with. So it comes with the invite card, the invite card, the RSVP card, the details card, and then, of course, the mail-in envelope and the RSVP envelope. It's just like a base. And it includes all of the addressing for it, so the guest addressing and the return addressing. And that's kind of like a base, and that's how I kind of price everything, and then I add from there depending on the printing, depending on if you add on any other things like wax seals or ribbon or layers or laser cut, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know the invitations can get pretty detailed nowadays. Wow.
They do. They
I wouldn't even
really
know where to
detailed.
Start.
So that's why I tell people, like, you know, really determine what your needs are and, you know, what your wants are, so I can decipher, you know, whether you want everything on this picture that you send me or just little pieces on this picture.
Got it. Do you do wedding? The new thing now is instead of the printed wedding programs, now the new thing is like wedding magazines that they give to guests. Are you into those?
Yes.
Or how do you consult with clients about those?
I haven't done any yet, but I'm open to it. A lot of times if people don't want the wedding programs that they hand out, like traditional ones, sometimes they even do the large signs. And I call them kind of welcome program signs, and they're really, really big, and you put them on an easel. So I haven't touched the magazines just yet, but I do think that's something I'm interested in.
Tell me more about the welcome program sign. What are those?
Those are, you probably are more familiar with like a large welcome sign that's like 24 by 36 in size. So it's normally pretty large. You can see it from afar, and it kind of helps depending on, you know, the type of wedding you're having. It could be better depending on where you place the signage, but you can use it as like a dual thing. So it welcomes your guests, but then it also gives you the order of events. It may also give you the wedding party information. It may give you a thank you note. So it serves as the same thing as a program, but it's just a large sign that could be framed or even, you know, printed on a super thick paper that would be placed on an easel.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's something I might consider for one of my clients. So I have to get more information about that. So instead of everyone getting an individual program, it's just posted for
it's just
guests
posted
to see. Okay. I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Any
yeah,
other?
Yeah, it's big. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No problem. And that's different from like the table seating. You know how couples are now, instead of doing the many place cards, they're doing like the large seating where you go up to the board and you find your name on the board to find out what table you're sitting at. That's different, right?
Right. It's okay. Different, but it kind of looks the same.
Gotcha. Okay. So the same size, that 24 by 36?
Yep. 24 by 36. And okay. Sometimes it's smaller or bigger depending on the client, really.
Yeah. And the guest size too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Love that idea. All right. Thank you. I mean, for those who are listening,
You're welcome.
A great cost savings tip. Instead of printing 300 programs, you might only need to print one or two program signs. I can't tell you because I do so many weddings in a church that the number of programs that are left behind in the sanctuary are numerous. And I just always shake my head like, you know, the cost, the money they could have saved and not printing so many. So thank you for that. Hadn't even thought of that. So, Tia, share like your most memorable wedding or event that you designed invitations for. Anything that stands out?
That's kind of a tricky one, only because my wedding was the one that kind of started this whole thing.
Okay.
So I kind of hold that one closer to my heart, only because it launched the business pretty much. Like in 2014, in August 2014, I got married, and I hadn't designed in like well over 3 years. So when I decided I wanted to do my save dates, my invitations, and all these other paper goods, you know, a lot of people was like, okay, you sure you want to do that? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I can save here and do it myself. And I got a lot of good, you know, kudos, like, after the fact. And then like, oh, my God, like, why aren't you doing this? So that one kind of holds a really high memory only because it launched everything else thereafter.
Absolutely. Love it. Why not, right? That's what got Dreamcatcher started. So why not? Love it. So one last question. What would be just some overall advice you give to any couple that's just starting out with their wedding planning? What would be maybe one or two pieces of advice you would give a couple that's just starting, newly engaged? Okay, the engagement season's off and they're ready to start wedding planning. Is there anything having, you know, you got married in 2014, you said?
Mm-hmm.
So you're recently married. You're still in newlywed zone. Once you hit seven, you're not anymore. That's how I look at it. But,
oh, is it seven?
You know, because they call it the 7-year itch, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. So what advice would you give a couple? You did destination wedding. You know, what advice? Let me be quiet and just let me hear what advice you'd give.
Well, first I would say, now this is probably like obvious, but a lot of people don't do this, is when you first get engaged, just take some time to be engaged and be, you know, happy about it. Don't just the next week start planning. Like, I know some people are super type A and they just jump into planning mode, but just enjoy being an engaged couple for a second before you get to planning, because it can be kind of stressful. You know, you're dealing with a lot of different things. You're dealing with family dynamics. You're dealing with cost, like money and everything. So if you do that first, it may help you, you know, get prepared for what you're about to encounter. But then also, once you get into the whole planning world, I always tell people to think about, you know, what things they value the most. And a lot of people, of course, they value some of the obvious things like the decor and the stuff you can see. But think about things that are like, you know, you can't really see it. So I would say, you know, think about a planner, because the planner can help things go a lot smoother. They have connections to people. They have, you know, knowledge that you wouldn't have as someone doing this for the first time normally. So I would tell people to consider a planner, and then also consider some of the other vendors that are higher priority in a sense, because they book fast. A planner is one I mentioned, but then also the venue where you're getting married, and then also photographers. Photographers book really fast too. So those are like the three people I would say are kind of top in regards to when you're first starting the planning, who you need to be considering very, very, very early on.
Love it. Love it. Tiara, I appreciate you so much for coming on today and sharing your business. And like I said, I love the fact that, you know, we don't even live in the same state, but social media is like so wonderful. When I started my wedding business over 20 something years ago, my youngest is about to turn 21, so I know it was 20 something years ago, I didn't have social media, you know, didn't have a website. It was just straight word of mouth. I mean, literally one of the weddings I did, my next door neighbor referred me. So I'm just so thankful that, you know, we have social media, we have events like Signature CEO, where, like you said, we can network with other planners. It doesn't matter if we're new, if we're experienced. And even if I never feel like, I guess this is the educator in me, I never feel like I know it all. I can always learn more. And I'm just appreciative for all the individuals I've met, including you, And so I thank you for your time today. And if you would just share with listeners where they can reach out to you on social media, if they want to interact, ask questions, become a client of yours, let them know how they can reach out to you.
Yes, so I am at Dreamcatcher Stationery on Instagram. I am at Dreamcatcher Stationery on Facebook. And then on Twitter, I am DC Stationery. And if you want to, you know, go to my website, feel free to visit me at Dreamcatcher Stationery. And stationery is with an E, not an A, .com. And I know a lot of people, they get that confused. So I just want to point it out. So definitely, if you guys have any questions or you want to reach out or follow me, you know, consider all those sources.
Absolutely. Great resource. And I'm looking forward to your inspirational line coming out. You say, are they mugs, you said?
Yeah. So in January, I actually launched what I consider an online storefront. So it has inspirational mugs on there. And that pretty much started because I was in a season of kind of like, you know, relearning myself, relearning what I love. And I wanted to encourage others. So I launched this line, but then I also have other paper goods on there as well. So I have some pre-designed wedding invitations on there. I also have note cards for small business owners or people that just want personalized note cards on there. So those are other things that I have, and I'm looking to expand that over the year and add some more items on there as well.
Love it. Thanks again, Tierra, for being on the Director's Take. And this is Lori Lewis. I can't even say my own name. Lori Lewis on the Director's Take podcast. We appreciate you listening. You can reach out to me at The Direct Her. That's DirectHer. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest. Or you can email me at Lori@TheDirectHer.com. So until next time, be well.